Welcome to another edition of the Albinism Report with myself, Shayla Ndikumana, courtesy of our producer, Machaba Matsapola, and Channel Africa. We are found on DSTV's 802, that is in and within the audio bouquet, or alternatively, you can stream us live. It is www.channelafrica.co.za. We do want to get interactive with you via social media, so please do the right thing. Check out our Facebook page, The Albinism Report, and find us on Twitter. It is at Channel Africa One. And if you're looking for my personal handle, it is MS_NDIKUMANA. 802 on DSTV's audio bouquet is what you tuned into. The name is Shayla Ndikumana, and this is the Albinism Report. We are chatting to the youth in the spirit of Youth Month, that is June in South Africa. And we have three amazing individuals, or rather four amazing individuals who are joining us, the likes of Dipulelo Maisela, who is attaining a degree in language and communication at the University of Limpopo. She is an actress and news reader. We also have Esther Mohlabane, who is from Pretoria, and she has obtained a diploma in PR and communications management at the University of Johannesburg and is further pursuing her studies at TUT, that is the Technological Institute in Tshwane. We also have the likes of Robert Sekosana, who's from Matatiela, and he is a musician and rapper. And lastly, we are joined by Jack Amake, who is a legal advisor and lawyer. And we're having a conversation regarding all things youth at this very moment. Welcome to it. If you've just joined us, 802 on DSTV's audio bouquet is what you are currently tuned into. This is the Albinism Report with myself, Shayla Ndikumana, and I keep you company within the hour. And today is quite exciting because we are taking a jab at the Youth Month, and we're really focusing and taking some time to observe the youth, to spend time with the youth, and we're going to be chatting to some amazing individuals. I know that we're going to be joined by the likes of Dipulelo Maisela, who is a South African, and she is skilled in language and communications, or she's attaining a skill set in language and communication at the University of Limpopo. She's also an actress and newsreader. I know we're also going to be joined by Esther Mohlabane, who is from Pretoria, and she's obtained a national diploma in PR and communication management at the University of Johannesburg. She's also launched her own podcast, this one titled More of Us. We also have the likes of Jack Make, who will be joining us, who is a legal advisor and lawyer, as well as Robert Sekosana, who is a musician and rapper. I want to start off because we have quite the bunch today. How are you doing, Robert?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. Dipulelo, precious, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you, ma'am?
I'm lovely. Thank you so much. And as we wait for the others to get on board, let's kickstart off the conversation. We have much to talk about. I just want to break the ice and find out if where you are currently based is as cold as where I am. I'm going to start with you, Robert. Robert, where are you based in South Africa?
Well, I'm in East End of Johannesburg, Boksburg. And, you know, it's extremely cold, you know, more especially in the morning because there is a lake.
Oh, no. Yes, yes, yes. Water features have the worst influence. Dipulelo, where are you based in South Africa?
Right now, I'm in University of Limpopo. The weather here is not cold, actually. Yeah, it's not cold.
Sure.
That's what I can... Yeah.
Fun times to be alive. Fun times to be alive indeed. Let's get into the conversation. It is Youth Month. We are currently taking some time to reflect. And I want to ask you each personally, what are some of the things that you are thankful for that the previous generation didn't have access to? And we are going to obviously stick to the South African context because June is a really special month in South Africa. I'll start off with you, Dipulelo.
Where can I start? Okay, actually, like, I'm grateful for the education right now. I'm grateful for the education. Actually, I'm grateful for the opportunity that we guys as youth we are having, because the previous people did not have the access to education, truly speaking, especially people living with albinism. Like, people, they were taking advantage of them. Like, some, they wanted to go to school, but then their parents, some, they did not have the knowledge of taking them to school. So, yeah, I'm grateful for the education that I get, or that I'm definitely receiving right now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Robert, you are in the entertainment industry, you're a musician. I want to sort of tap into that space. What do you think, or perhaps what are you grateful for within your sphere that you think the youth that previously existed didn't perhaps have access to?
Well, me, as an individual who is in the entertainment space, I would say as youth, we are very grateful, you know, because we have a lot of things that are going on so far, like the likes of the internet, and there are so many gatherings that are happening. And see, next week it's World Albinism Awareness Day, and there will be more, you know, like spreading the word. There is June 16 as well, which is the holiday that is happening, and I can see that the youth, they are taking their steps ahead and organizing some gatherings as well to remember our past generation.
Truth. Okay, to elaborate more on that?
Oh, I said, like, since, like, it's June, there is a holiday on the 16th of June, and the youth of today, they are, like, organizing some gatherings.
I can. Thank you so much for that, Robert. I am going to rope in Esther into the conversation. Hello, Esther. How are you?
Feeling yourself, and how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. So we kickstarted off the conversation with an observation around Youth Month, that is the month of June in South Africa. And essentially, the question posed to everybody was, what are you grateful for as a person who is a part of the youth in 2022 that perhaps those before us didn't have access to? Or even if they did, what are you now grateful for as someone who's a part of the youth?
For me, I'm grateful for a lot of things. I think one, the opportunity to be able to go to a university of my choice is one. The second thing is I'm grateful for a vast knowledge of the youth of 1976. And I'm also grateful for learning or how to navigate this life on a day-to-day basis without really getting judged as much.
That's beautiful. We're going to move on to the next question, and I think this is just a considering factor. So, yes, we have a lot of things we are grateful for as the youth of 2022, but there are also challenges. And just to put a highlight on it, there are challenges for persons with albinism still in our community today. So I want to give each of you the opportunity to share your personal challenges where you feel best fit. I'm going to start off with Dipulelo again. Can I get you into the conversation? Think we'll wait for Dipulelo. Esther, can I rope you in there and have you perhaps take a shot at the question?
I think the challenges for me personally is lack of representation of persons with albinism in mainstream media or just in general. I find that my challenges might be different to someone else, but for me, my concern is the lack of representation. I don't see many young black persons with albinism on mainstream media. And it's a challenge because if you don't have the right representation that you can relate to. It can become problematic for one to, you know, reference from, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. That is very powerful. I absolutely appreciate that response. Representation does matter quite a bit. But I know that you're taking your own personal strides to contribute to mainstream media by being a podcaster. I know that your show is dubbed More of Us. Would you care to elaborate what it is about?
So I started More of Us this year in April. But I didn't really dwell on it, you know, I didn't really promote it that much. So More of Us podcast is a podcast that I started to celebrate more persons with disabilities and also highlight the hurdles that they face in society. So I've noticed that from as early as I can remember as a little girl, I didn't have much representation of persons with disabilities in, for example, television or magazines. So I created this platform to celebrate more persons with disabilities, because quite often in the media industry or on television, whether it be adverts, whether it be news, people reading the news bulletin, we don't see a lot of representation of persons with disabilities. We only see them when, for example, we are promoting Casual Day, for example, or when it's just that one person that is included for that particular segment. And I wanted to normalize as having more persons with disabilities in mainstream media, because there isn't any of that.
I absolutely appreciate that. Another person who is within the mainstream media space, and I'm going to say this, is Robert. And I want to pull you in here as somebody who's within the entertainment industry. What are some of the personal challenges you've experienced, firstly as a youth, secondly as a person with albinism?
Okay, I can't say there are challenges as such, you know, because I feel like everything is at the tip of our hands lately, because we have a lot of access through the internet and stuff. But even though people, they still that stereotyping, they are ignorant, more especially when, like, maybe let me say I did a song, even if, like, they didn't even get a chance to listen to it, they just judge the cover of the song before. So sometimes I tend to hide and do the paintings and stuff just to hide, and later on at the later stage they will hear my past work and see.
Thank you so much for sharing that one. I want us to step into a break, and when we get back, we're going to be delving further into the lives of these extremely amazing individuals who are doing extremely amazing things in their respective career paths.
My name is Radavagile Ashanti Mdefe. I'm from Vaal Triangle. I'm 21 years old. I'm a student at CDBN College studying project and business management. Mm. This year is my final year, and currently I'm a model. Mm-hmm. Being a model is not easy. It's very challenging. You must know what you want, and you must stand up for yourself.
The one question you should really ask yourself is, who are you living for? That is most important, because from there you can just make your own decisions, and there you are able to, like, make sure that people don't affect, like, how their opinions do not affect you or restrict you from doing what you want to do.
And the other thing, I mean, it's hard being a woman with albinism, but it's also harder being a young woman with albinism, willing to share their very personal experiences and things they've gone through in life because of their condition. Mm. And I think her personal story is quite something. And her personal story can lead us into so many conversations around things that we women with albinism go through in on day-to-day lives, but we never have the courage to talk about them.
My work is based at the United Nations, and it is a position officially called the United Nations Independent Experts on the Enjoyment of Human Rights by Persons with Albinism. So that's a mouthful. Normally, people can get away with just saying the UN Independent Expert on Albinism. My primary duties are following up on the situation of persons with albinism worldwide, but at this point, my focus is on sub-Saharan Africa, where there have been reports of physical attacks against hundreds of persons with albinism.
Hi, I'm Tando Hoppa. I'm a model, writer, activist, and lawyer. You're listening to the Albinism Report on Channel Africa, the African perspective.
I've been called all kinds of names, ghosty, albino, demon child.
Personally, I hate being called albino. Just say, do you have albinism?
People will stop me on the street and they'll ask me, excuse me, are you black or white?
There's actually two types of albinism. I have ocular albinism.
And that's just albinism of the eyes.
And the second type, which is oculocutaneous albinism,
is a lack of pigmentation or melanin and the skin, and the hair, and the eyes.
My eyes constantly shake.
So the unique thing where my eyes constantly move back and forth and create this like vertigo effect.
Even though I'm legally blind, there are still things I can see, like shapes, colors, light. A lot of light.
The first one, and probably the most significant reason why people have poor vision, is photophobia. What that means is that I'm exceedingly sensitive to light.
When I navigate around the city, being nearsighted, naturally I look down, because it's usually not the bright side of my field of vision.
You look sick. Why don't you get out and tan more? Well, I can't tan.
Really bothers me is when I'm online and I'm talking, I write a comment, and a black person will say, oh, you have no right to say that because you're not black. You experience white privilege for your skin color. Frustrating that some black people perceive us as having some type of higher privilege, you know, just because we lack skin color.
There still is a belief amongst a number of people that albino people are scary or unusual or evil, and that just isn't the case.
So people with albinism in some parts of the world needs to be protected. They need advocacy for the things that are going on in their culture.
In a number of countries in Africa, in particular Tanzania, people with albinism are seen to possess magical powers.
Their body parts are worth money. That they are being attacked for their body parts. They're being mutilated. They're being killed.
The going rate for a human being like myself is $75,000.
And this is why we have International Albinism Awareness Day, is to bring awareness to these issues and to teach people what albinism is, what albinism means, and try to dispel a lot of these myths that can create these issues for people.
Everybody with albinism is a human being. We are real life people. We cry, we're happy. Just like you.
I am happy with who I am, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. Try and surround yourself with people who lift you up, not bring you down.
We're going to move on to other questions, and I really want to delve into the heart and lives of your daily walks. And if you would allow me to, please, experience a day in your shoes, if possible. And I want to start off with Esther. What is a day in your shoes? And the reason why we're doing this is it's to give light to what different kind of youth members experience in their day-to-day movement. Esther?
So, for me, I'm currently doing my postgrad qualification at Tshwane University of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And my day-to-day, it's not a full-time qualification, it's a part-time qualification, but on the days that I do experience, you know, exposure to other human beings, if I can call it that way, it's very difficult at times,
but it gets easier with time as well. But what I mean by that is that, for example, in the classroom setting, for example, at TUT, it's very different from other universities that I've gone to, like I've gone to UJ. The setting is they use a blackboard, for example, or a whiteboard to write. So it's not very, easy for me to be able to see from a distance. And I find that extremely difficult, but I do communicate with lecturers to let them know that I can't see this far, I can see this far, I can do this much. And they are very much supportive in that context.
That's beautiful. And props to you for furthering your studies. Robert, please walk me through a day in your life, a day in your shoes. What do we do? You know, and I've always been curious about artists. Do you just wake up and say, you know what, this is the next song? Do you take time? Do you do research? Walk me through a day in your shoes.
Okay. I can say I'm facing the challenge when it comes to the performance, you know. Because lately, we are allowed to perform in the clubs, right? Because of the COVID. So there is a challenge there, whereby like there are more people and they are drunk. Here I am, the nigga with albinism, you see. So they tend to stare at me like, okay, where does he want here? Those questions. But the moment they hear the music, then that's when they're gonna pay attention, say, oh, okay, he is too good, you know. And the other thing, I'm working at the public hospital in the pharmacy here. So I have to work 10 times harder than other people because the patients, they actually don't trust me, you know, to handle their medication and stuff. I've noticed that. And so I have to prove myself every day. See?
Sure.
That's the challenge. And the eye problem as well,
and Robert, when you encounter these challenges, what are some of the things you do personally to keep going? We are in an era, and it's publicized holistically, that we all need to take care of our mental health, and I can only imagine that would negatively affect your mental health. What are some of the things that you do to keep positive despite the challenges?
I can say it's self-motivation because I'm always alone, so I motivate myself a lot. I read, I pray. That's it.
That's beautiful. That's pardon,
less people reminds I tend to forget sometimes. Unless people choose to remind me, this one is different from us. So that's when I would say,
Sure. I want to bring some general, negative experiences that the youth have been experiencing. It's not just the youth per se, but I want to get the view or the line of sight that you and Esther and everybody else joining us share. And that, let's start with GBV. Esther, what are your thoughts and views on GBV? How do you perceive it? If anything, do you think there's solutions to it? What do you think we can do differently?
Well, I think how I would define GBV is any kind of violence, be it physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, that you'd experience from either, a partner, someone that you trust, So I think for the youth to experience GBV, especially in a time where more women, for example, are dying at the hands of their partners or someone they consider their partners, it's really sad and it's very painful and it's very
it's triggering actually, because even when you read online, you read the different types of cases, like the Tsogofatsepule case, for example.
Mm.
It's so triggering because you just think to yourself, am I the next Tsogofatsepule? Am I the next stat, person that's going to be on the stats, for example? So it's very triggering because as a child I witnessed a lot of GBV in the home, so I understand the sentiments when someone says I got physically abused, or I'm emotionally abused, or I'm going through a certain or similar situation. I can relate easily to the situation because I've gone through something similar or something of that kind.
Mm. I'd like to rope Jack into the question that we're currently addressing. Jack, what are your sentiments, views, and thoughts on gender-based violence?
Hi, Sheila. Hi, everyone. Firstly, I think the thing about gender-based violence is that men have an unhealthy impact to women, to women's bodies, to women's finances, to women's opinions. Like, men just have an unhealthy entitlement instead. And they overextend that entitlement even in places where they shouldn't. I mean, I think from a personal perspective, I think the problem and the solution lies with men instead. But from a citizen's perspective, I also think the state can play a vital role in assisting some of the women in finding help, in assisting some of the men in finding mental help as well instead, in finding therapy, in finding other ways to help with the problem. Because the honest truth is, we can't wish the problem away.
Mm.
We can't just, something can happen and we tweet about it and then that's there.
Mm.
Understand?
Mm.
I don't think we can tweet about it all the time that it happens, because it happens so frequently that at some point we're going to realize that all we're tweeting about, all we're talking about, all that's dominating each of our every conversations is the fact that men are killing, raping, and just disrespecting and violating women and children's rights every other day.
Sure. Thank you for that. I'm going to shift over to Robert. Now, Robert, the one thing that has been part of the conversation, especially when it comes to gender-based violence, is how the media plays a role in instigating or fueling or inspiring such things. In your view and in your line of sight, what do you think the mainstream media, and I mean entertainment, because that is your force field, how do you think they're contributing to the conversation? Are we trying to eradicate gender-based violence through music, or are we supporting it and instigating it?
Oh, well, that one is another pandemic on its own, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm.
But what I've seen in the past few years, people that are in the media space, they are playing a huge role, in terms of raising awarenesses. Even you saw the songs, Yujiti Lamains, the rappers, they are creating music to raise awareness on that gender-based violence,
Mm, lovely.
Yeah.
On a more lighter note, I want to shift our focus to a very, I think this is a topic or a subject matter that people didn't really thoroughly dig through. And I want to find out from you individually, what are some of the new skill sets that you learned during COVID? COVID was 2 years of home time, 2 years of staying in your house, 2 years of alone time or time with the family, and a lot of people got up to a lot of things. So I just want to find out from you, what are some of the skills that you acquired? Maybe you learned a new language, you learned how to play an instrument, you joined a club online. I'd love to know, Robert, what are some of the things that you COVID's sort of lockdown gave you the opportunity to partake in?
Well, those were hard moments, you know.
Yeah.
Because, those were hard moments. I think I was writing music most of the time and spending time on drawing and paintings, you know. That's what kept me going during that time. And creating more like marketing strategies as well, in terms of communicating with other artists.
Well, that's lovely. Esther, are there any new skill sets that you have added to your vast list already?
For me, it's writing. I've always been a good communicator, but I've always liked writing. So I have improved. I've taken up, you know, like short courses online to improve my writing skills.
That's beautiful. And Jack?
I think one thing that I tried to do was to study towards my, something else, you know, like just to try and improve my skill set in terms of professionalism. And the other thing that I learned to do was to bake. So I've always been interested in baking some muffins, you know, some cakes, some nice stuff. So I just tried and learned how to bake, you know. And I didn't do that badly, I must also.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, the 13th of June, 2022, is dubbed as Albinism Awareness Day. I want to find out from you personally, what will you be doing on the day? What will you be partaking in, if anything? May I start with Jack?
Yeah, I think it will be a Sunday. So I'm going to go to church, come back, try and cook and maybe bake, you know. When you have a skill, you must advertise it. You must do it every day. Maybe bake and just see what else I can do, you know, and just try and raise awareness amongst my friends, amongst my family, and amongst people that I come across. Because then if I don't try and empower the people around me in terms of knowledge about albinism, then I don't think anybody else can, and I don't think anybody else will.
Wow, thank you so much for that. Robert, what will you be getting up to on the 13th?
Everything starts on the 11th, you know, because I'm hosting a show in Pretoria, and it's celebration, you know, but I'm calling out people with albinism to come celebrate with me. Some of the artists that are coming through, it's Frank and Double Cream. Hopefully JK will come. And on the 13th, I'm going to Eastern Cape with Frank, you know, because there is a show that we are hosting as well on the 16th in Eastern Cape Matadi. That's my hometown, you know. So everything, June, we are spreading the word, you know, because I feel like there's more weight when I'm around people with albinism, more especially in the entertainment space.
Lovely. All the best with that. All the best with your shows, even. And have fun and enjoy yourself, please. And Esther, can I find out from you what the plans are looking like?
So I'll be studying because I'm currently busy with assignments, so I'm within the books. it isn't easy as I thought it would be, but yeah, I'll be doing my assignments. I'll be catching up on a lot of reading and also just improving my podcast and seeing what kind of content I can include in my podcast.
Well, that's lovely. Wow. All the best to that as well, the assignments and the podcasting. And I'm hoping that you all will have some time to just take some downtime and breathe and rest, if anything, rest in this really busy, crazy fast life that we're living in. We all need rest. And with that being said, I am going to bring this interview to an end. Thank you so much for your time, lady and gents. Absolutely appreciate speaking to each and every one of you.
Thank you so much.
What a beautiful conversation, bringing us toward the end of the show. My goodness, if you want to be part and parcel of the fun, join in. Find us on Facebook, The Albinism Report, and on Twitter at Channel Africa One. Let's keep this conversation going. But for now, I must love and leave you, making way and room for the next show. From me to you, it's been an absolute blessing. Until we meet again, goodbye, Africa.